As Marguerite would so often say, Debbie, beautiful. Thank you for doing that. Wonderful. We really appreciate that. It's good to see everybody. Thank you for being here in worship so that we can thank God for our life and our salvation in Jesus Christ. For those of you that are watching at home, thank you for being with us, your church family, today. I do have a few announcements. One is next Sunday, right after our worship, a very brief congregational meeting will be held. So if you could be here for that, we would appreciate it. I also want you to know that we baptized Samuel Trout Corbett this morning. We had to do that privately so that social distancing and all of that could be done, but they have a baptized boy in their household. Keep them and all our young families in your prayers as they seek to create homes of faith where the children learn about Jesus not only in church, but in their home. Also, keep in prayers all those that have lost a loved one lately. We got some folks that have had some grief, and I just ask that you would keep those families in your prayers for sure. Let's begin with a prayer, and we'll just thank God for his grace, forgiveness, and love. Let us pray. God, in these times and days of uncertainty, our prayer is that you would walk with us. And by being with us, assure us that our fear will not replace our faith. We ask that any anxiety we might have about anything that's going on in our living these days would go away because we lean on your assurances. So today, when we turn to Scripture, let us hear you speak to our lives, to our circumstances. And just remind us all that you are the God of our salvation, and that with you, all things are possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first hymn is a hymn of faith. It's Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. If you want to look that up, if you're at home, it's Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. If you're here, just grab the hymnal. It's hymn number 210. Let's stand and sing that together.
Thank you.
You may be seated. We're going to read responsively Psalm 23. If you'll grab your Bible and turn to Psalm 23, we'll read that responsively. I'll read a verse, and then you read the next one. If you're using the pew hymnal, it'll be on page 501. But what I like about this psalm is the psalmist says, you know, if I'm in a dark valley, it's okay because Christ or the Lord, my shepherd, is going to lead me. He knows the way through dark valleys. The psalmist goes on to say, you know, even if I'm surrounded on all sides by enemies, guess what? My God is able to bless me even in that situation. So I don't have anything to worry about if God can do all that. So I know goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. And so this is, this popular psalm, a great statement of faith and confidence because the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And because the Lord, our shepherd, has spoken to our lives and reminded us that he will see us through those dark moments and even on into green pastures and quiet waters because he's able to restore our soul, let us respond to this revelation by standing and singing together the Gloria Patri. Be seated. I'm going to share with you just one verse from John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 11. And what I want you to know is Jesus is having a real long prayer or conversation with God, his Father. Jesus knows that he's going to have to go to the cross. He knows it's not going to be easy. He knows he's going to face great trial. And so he's talking to God the Father. And in that conversation, as Jesus talks to God, he says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they, meaning his disciples, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. You know, Jesus and God the Father, they were like this. They had the same goal. They had the same mission. They had the same desire. They had the same love for the whole entire world. And so they're having that conversation, and Jesus prays, God, let them be one, just as you and I are one. I've got here a big, long toothpick or a spear. And I want to ask you kids out there, I'd have you come up, but we don't do that right now. Do you think I'm strong enough to snap this in half? You said no? Oh, come on. I got some guns under this robe, you know, from all the weights that I lift. I think I could probably do it. Do y'all think I got enough strength to break it? Let's see. Let's try. Yep. Sure enough, I broke it. Well, Jesus was talking about us being one, us being united, us being together. And so look what I have here. I have a whole package of these toothpick spears. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to snap them in half just like I did the single one. And y'all think I can do it, right? I didn't hear. No. Boy, y'all sure have a lot of confidence in me. Well, here goes. Ready? You know what? The one that I broke by itself wasn't very strong. But look what happens when they're all together as one. That was Jesus' prayer for the church. That was Jesus' prayer for us. He wants us to encourage one another in the faith. He knew he was going to go to the cross, and the moments ahead would be terrible for his disciples. And he says, God, make them one just like you and I are one. And when we come together, man, it's hard for the world to break us when we're encouraging one another with our faith. So let's just remember to reach out to one another in times like we're in now. Encourage each other's faith as we remind one another that we can together look to God as our help, just as we've done in ages past. I'm going to read to you also from Matthew 14. I love this story. It's about Peter walking on water. Yeah, they're going to be in a boat out at sea. There's going to be a terrible storm. And Jesus is going to come walking on the water out to the disciples. And now Peter, he's pretty courageous. He sees Jesus walking on the water towards him. And he says, hey, God, I'd rather be in the midst of all this terrifying storm. I'd rather be not in the boat, but where you are. So let me come to you. And Jesus says, come on. Peter actually jumps out of the boat and starts walking on water. Wow. How many of us can say we've done that? Unfortunately, he quickly becomes afraid and he sinks. So he has this moment of great faith. And then this moment where his faith just fails pretty much completely. But just as Jesus told Peter, yeah, come on out to me. Jesus also takes him when he's underwater and lifts him back up and takes him into the boat. Jesus was there to say, hey, Peter, when you have great faith, I'm going to be here with you. And when your faith falters, I'm still going to be with you. And so that's a message we need to hear today. This is Matthew 14, beginning in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, Jesus was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and he said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now our Old Testament passage. It's going to be a similar pattern like we just heard in Matthew, only this is going to be about Elijah the prophet. Elijah was an incredible prophet. I mean, in his day, he would have been more popular than Billy Graham. But I mean, Elijah was out there telling people about God, and he takes on these pagan priests. He defeats them. He prays that God would rain down fire from heaven, and God does. And boy, it's an incredible victory over these priests who prayed and had nothing happen. But what we're going to find is as soon as he has this incredible victory, Elijah's now going to suffer a sinking defeat. And we'll see what we can glean from that as we hear God's word. Let me offer a prayer before I read this passage. God, thank you that you come to us. Thank you that you take us as we are. And thank you even more that you will work to provide, to empower, so that we would become what you created us to be. So speak to us your life-giving word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid. He got up and he fled for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and he lay down again. The angel came a second time, touched him and said, get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. He got up and ate and drank, and then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave, and he spent the night there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to have y'all sing one more time, just one verse. And don't worry, you don't need to look it up in the hymnal, because I bet you money you know it by heart. It's that song that is familiar to many titled, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Let's sing that together.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible
Hey, thanks for singing along on that familiar song. It's an important message that we need to hear. But you know, when I learned it in Sunday school, I remembered some of the motions, you know, like, yes, and we'd nod our heads, Jesus loves me. But we'd also sing that part, I am weak, but he is strong, and we'd make a muscle. Mine's not big enough to go through the robe yet, but maybe someday. But you know, we need to hear that song in times like this, because when we have pandemics, when we face unemployment, when there is uncertainty, when we lose a loved one, or we don't know if we're going to have to close down our business, we realize what it's like to be weak. But we also need to remember, he is strong. It's a good song for a world that's in a pandemic. We realize we're weak and we need the one who is strong. And you know, we come to church and very often talk about God's power and God's strength. Oftentimes we pray a prayer of confession, and the reason we do that is we're realizing, you know, when left to myself, I don't live as well as God had hoped I would. And so we pray a prayer of confession together, and it's great because God meets us in forgiveness and encourages us to continue going on living a new life. But we do talk about God's power in church quite often. I mean, the Bible is just full of examples of people who were weak, but that believed that God was strong. You know, if you're in one of the gospel accounts of the New Testament, you'll learn about an unassuming young woman, probably a teen, still a virgin, who leapt onto the pages of human history when she received the angel's message, and she decided to obey it because she believed with God, all things are possible. You see, the Virgin Mary rested her faith in the fact that God could bring about what she knew she could never do or accomplish on her own. And then there's this guy we just heard about in Peter, the disciple Peter, an ordinary fisherman who, of all crazy things, tried walking on water. He did take a few steps, but then he failed. But it was the strong arm of Jesus in that passage that quickly lifted him out of the ocean depths and brought him safely aboard the boat. And so, as time went on, Peter had his confidence restored in Jesus Christ, especially after he encounters him in his resurrection. And from that time on, Peter, instead of someone that sinks, became the rock in which Christ's church was built. If you think you've had a bad day or a bad week, I want you to remember the Apostle Paul. He was a shipwrecked person. Yeah. Boat blew apart. Finally made it to an island. He was snake bitten and recovered. He was imprisoned and even beaten. Yet, like the Virgin Mary and the restored to faith Peter, he amazingly said in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because in all those bad times, he was very much aware, especially when snake bitten, I'm weak right now. And he learned to trust in the strength and power of God. All these people and so many other characters that are mentioned in the Bible, they are in situations which make it obviously clear to themselves that they are weak. I mean, think about Moses. He's led the people out of Egypt. they've gotten to the sea and they can't go across it, and they turn around and uh-oh, here comes Pharaoh, his army, and all the chariots. I bet Moses knew, gosh, I'm pretty limited right now. I'm pretty weak. What's he do? He turned to God, who is strong and able, capable. The waters parted and they passed on to salvation. So many characters in Scripture knew they were weak, but what makes them memorable and extraordinary is they believed that their God was strong. The example of their life sings with a very loud chorus today, "We are weak, but God is strong." But I got to ask, as I thought about Elijah, if we have those moments where we realize we're weak and we know God is strong, then what happened to Elijah? He just had an incredible victory over the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel in chapter 18. Again, he called upon God to bring down fire, and God brought fire on a bunch of wet wood, and it just burnt up. Elijah had shown the people his God, the God of Abraham, the God of Israel, and he showed them that God could outdo those false prophets and that God could bring the people out of a very long famine. But after that incredible victory in chapter 18, we go into chapter 19, and the very first thing that we find is Elijah's in the desert. He's all alone, and he is just full of doubt and despair. So much so, he's ready to just throw in the towel. He's suffering a spiritual famine. How in the world did he go from such heights to where we find him now, and just a few verses later, in such a depth of depression and despair? Well, the answer lies in the fact that he listened and obeyed the wrong message. He listened to the wrong voice and he obeyed the wrong message. In verse 2, Jezebel, the queen, said, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them," meaning one of the prophets who had been slain. In other words, she was saying, "Elijah, you're going to end up dead, just like the prophets you just defeated." And rather than wait for the word of God to give direction and provision, as Elijah had successfully done in his great past, here he listens to the wrong voice, he fears the wrong message, and it replaces his faith. And so we find him just ready to call it quits. Have you ever been there? Been living in great faith? Circumstances get so threatening, all of a sudden you're just ready to call it quits. That's where we find Elijah this morning. And one of the things that makes God's grace so amazing is we learn God will come and meet us. Not only in our moments of great faith, God will meet us in our flight. And God will provide what we need so that we can be strengthened once more to continue that adventurous journey that we call faith. Providing the food was very important in the story. God providing food to Elijah is God's way of telling us we need to turn to God for help if we're going to reach our goal. We can't do it ourselves. This was the lesson for Israel when they wandered in the wilderness, and it's the lesson for us today. When the people were wandering in the wilderness, they had no food. And yet what they learned is daily, God supplied manna. They needed God for direction. They needed God for protection. They needed God for provision. And each morning when they went out their tents, they found this manna and they realized, oh gosh, God has yet again provided even the common basic stuff that I need each and every day. Without God, those people would have perished in the barren, harsh wilderness, but they didn't, because God was with them. We must have God's help. The provision of divine food shows us God will provide. And what we need to learn this morning is trust that. Elijah needed God's help to run and not grow weary, to walk and not become faint. And so the angel comes, sent by God, and says, get up and eat. It was God's way of pointing Elijah to his salvation. That's why we often celebrate communion and do it often. In the communion food, the simple bread and the juice that is offered to us at the table, we're reminded God still comes to his people and he comes to feed our hungry souls and our starving lives, so that having been fed and nourished, not by anyone's hand, but by the hand of God, we can go out again in strong and healthy faith. You know, when we so often pray the Lord's Prayer, we utter that request, give us this day our daily bread. And when we do that, we're making a great statement of faith. We're saying, God, I know that I can't make it on my own, and I need you to supply daily. So give us this day our daily bread, even the basic stuff. Because I know I can't do it on my own. If my well runs dry, I need you, God. I need you, as it says in Romans chapter 5, to pour out your Holy Spirit and fill me once again, because, gosh, I'm empty. Man, I'm out. I'm done. I'm spent. I need your new beginning because I know I've come to the end of mine. And so it's good for us when we realize we are weak. Yeah, I did say that. It's good for us when we realize we are weak, because that is so often the time when we awaken to the one who is strong. Give us this day our daily bread. It says we recognize our very life, our very strength, and our very salvation comes from God. Our daily bread reminds us that God will be with us each day in the plain and ordinary stuff, not just the grandeur of the mountaintop experiences that we might have. God will be with us in our faith. And here, what I love about Elijah's story, God will be with us in our flight as well. Strengthened by that food, it says, Elijah traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. If you find yourself feeling weak, despondent, despairing, it's okay. It means you can't trust or rely on you anymore. And it's time to trust God, who is so capable to provide exactly what we need. If you're out of strength, that's okay. Now it's time to get out of the way and see what God's power can do. If you're empty and you don't know how to refill or replenish, that's okay, because you're now no longer full of yourself. And that means there is all kinds of room for God to come into your life and fill you with his grace, love, and power. But you know, we live in a world that is obsessed and focuses so much, not on us being weak, but us being strong. But something wonderful can happen when we are weak, and even at our end, because that's when we are at the end of ourselves, we can truly discover the strength and the resource that only God can provide. You know, when God's strength is the only thing that is left, that, my friends, is when we discover we have plenty. So no matter what you're facing right now today, just put your trust in the Lord. He is your greatest help, your best salvation. And He will come to you, even if you're faltering, and lift you up, because He's a God that loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven and you could go forth to live the victorious life with God now and forever. If anybody out there is watching and you haven't confessed your sins and asked Jesus for His forgiveness and you want to trust Him as your Lord and Savior, just tell Him. Just pray to Him, and you can go forth to walk as a child of God. But let us right now all, let us turn to God and be reminded that is our source of strength. So will you please pray with me? God, thank You for Your grace that is eager to forgive our sin, that is ready to welcome us at any moment into Your presence. And like that prodigal father who looked for his son to return home, we thank You that You're a God that just rushes out to meet us whenever we even begin to turn to You. Thank You that You do still come to us in the power of Your Holy Spirit, so that even faith is not a faith that we give ourselves. It is a gift from You. And You can sustain our faith. You can reassure our faith. You can grant hope to our faith, because You're with us in our hearts, speaking to our inmost being, reminding us of Your love, and telling of us of how nothing can stop You from fulfilling everything You've promised, because we've seen that in Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. Thank You for removing all obstacles. Thank You for removing all barriers so that we know You now and can enjoy your joyous love this very day. But there are many of us who have questions. There are many of us who have doubts. There are many of us that might have even given up. But thank You that Your steadfast love endures forever. Thank You that even if we don't have faith in a certain moment, You still believe in us and You come to us to lift us up and uphold us. So no matter what kind of times we face together, let us do it in confidence and in hope as we look to You to provide our every need. Lord, strengthen Your churches as they worship You. Hear their prayers as they pray to You. And we do ask that You'd look upon this world which You made and You love and heal it. Rid it of viruses and illness and brokenness, so that we can point to Your salvation and declare Your glory to the whole world. Hear our prayers as we come to You, praying them in the way in which Jesus taught us by saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn. Let me find out where I got it written down. It's going to be appropriately, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." In your pew hymnal, it's hymn 383. We'll stand and sing that together. If you're at home and you want to look up the words, it's "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." Let's stand and praise God together. Thanks all of you for worshiping with us today, for wearing masks. Thank you for those that are worshiping at home. But as all of you go into your day and into your week, rejoice in the presence of the Holy Spirit who is with you. And may God bless you, may God keep you, and may God make his face to shine upon you now and forevermore. Amen.